business goals. Tick. A vision board. Tick. You're all set, but have you made yourself accountable? When the going gets tough, it can be hard to stick to your goals. So what are you going to do now to help get the sticking power you need to see them through? Having a supportive group in your corner is essential in business. That's why I've started the Creative Slurp Accountability Club to help small business owners like you keep on track with your goals. We check in once a month to make sure we're all on track and bounce ideas around so you never feel alone again in your small business. And I take you through a monthly review and goal setting session to give you a framework to work from. It could be the support you need to take you to the next level. At the moment, it's just £15 a month to join, and you can sign up by going to my website, thevictoriabrown.com. That's thevictoriabrown.com, and click on Join Accountability Club. See you there. Game changer. Upping the quality of your product photos can be. In this episode of Creative Slurp Podcast, top product photographer Holly Booth gives oodles of top practical tips on how to create great product shots. She also tells us a story of her creative business. Find out how listening to customers, being part of communities, and not being afraid to innovate has helped her succeed. Enjoy. Welcome to Creative Slurp Podcast, giving you the juice to build a successful creative business with me, Victoria Brown, a creative business advisor, former jeweler and craft fanatic. Now you're in the right place if you want to find real talk, inspiration and the best tips and strategies for your handmade business without the overwhelm. We're all about making business exciting and fun. Now buckle up and let's get started. Hi Holly, thank you so much for joining us on Creative Slurp. I've got to say that I was so excited that you were joining me because when I was a jeweler a few years ago, I heard about you as a photographer, loved your work and really wanted you to take photos of my jewellery. But you had such a long waiting list, which is testament to how amazing you are, that I just couldn't get a look at it. But here we are, full circle. Now I'm chatting to you, which is amazing.
Oh, so, thank you so much for asking me.
For those that don't know who you are, can you tell us a bit about you and what you do?
Yeah, of course. So I'm Holly and I run Holly Booth Studio, which is a product photography and video business for small businesses. So I run the business with my partner, Pete, but we specialize in kind of working with like independent makers, designers and shops to kind of just help them elevate their brand online and kind of, you know, take great photos for them of their products and their brands and help them. So they've got that kind of those images to use online and help them sell themselves. So
how important is that for them, do you think?
Oh, so important. It's huge, isn't it? Like, I think even more so now, like everything's so visual in terms of marketing, social media, everything. I know there's been a bit of a shift recently kind of from kind of photography to video, but I think it still plays such an important part because, you know, everyone we work with has spent time and energy making these beautiful products. So you don't want to undersell it with bad product photography. It's just so important. So, and I know it is a stress for a lot of people, like it's another thing to add to your list to do. So if we can help people out, that's really nice to do.
Yeah, and it's not easy to do product photography at all, and I do think that the standard has just elevated. I mean, what was once all right just to put some photos of that weren't that great out, now everybody's are amazing, and you've got to keep up with your competitors.
Absolutely, everyone's totally up their game, and I think because people have got access to kind of great kind of cameras on their phones now as well, like everyone's got that opportunity to take really great photos, and you know it doesn't come naturally to everybody, but yeah, there's definitely that kind of competition, and there's so many other people online that you've got to kind of compete against. So to get those products out there, you've got to have strong imagery with it.
Yeah,
it's super important.
So how did you get into product photography specifically, and why did you decide to work with kind of handmade and creative businesses?
So I studied photography at uni and then I set the business up in my last year and went straight into being freelance. And when I first started, I actually wasn't doing product photography because all we'd done at uni on product photography was white background, like pack shots. And I was like, this is boring. I don't want to do this. It's not for me. So I was like, okay, like, you know, I've tried it out. It's not for me. And I was kind of really interested in kind of just the more creative kind of side of photography. So I was looking at kind of fashion work and portrait work. So I kind of went straight into that, and product photography wasn't really on my radar at the time. And I probably had like maybe a year or so where I was just focused on the fashion work and working with kind of portraits and that kind of thing. There wasn't a lot of work there. There wasn't a lot of paid work there. But what it did mean was I was meeting other creatives, and I started doing kind of styled bridal shoots for blogs. When that was such, it used to be such a huge thing when I first started. Everyone did like styled bridal shoots for blogs, and it was a massive thing where teams all came together, and it was like mostly free work, but it was great because it was just that bit of exposure on that, you know, you're kind of networking and getting your name out there. But I would go to these shoots and there would be kind of jewelry designers and wedding stationery designers, and they're all going, we don't know how to get good photos of our products. Like, they would get photos from weddings that were beautiful, but they didn't show off their products. And I was like, okay, there's a niche here. Like, people want beautifully styled imagery, but of their products, but they're for their products to shine and be the main focus. So I kind of just started kind of testing the waters a bit with it there and working with these people that I was meeting on other shoots. And at the time, there wasn't lots of product photographers out there. Like, a lot of the stuff I was seeing was pack shots and stuff for press and that kind of thing. So I was like, okay, maybe there's a niche here. And it was probably about 2 years into my business, I just decided to rebrand and just focus on going into kind of product photography and working with makers and designers. And that's when it snowballed for me, because it was just, there wasn't lots of other people doing it at the same time. And I think that kind of my passion for working with makers and designers kind of shone through. And yeah, it just went mad from there. And I've not looked back. That's all I've done since. And I'm in my 12th year now. So yeah, it's mad.
Amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We hear a lot about, you know, should people have a niche or not? But for you, it obviously did work.
Yeah. And like, I really, you know, at uni, we were told not to. We were told not to niche. We were told to kind of do any work that you could get your hands on because there wasn't a lot of work in commercial photography. So it was, you know, just anything you could get hold of. But for me, as soon as I did do that niche and really focus down, that's when it really worked for me. And I think it's because I knew who my audience was. Like, I knew who I wanted to work with, and I could really narrow it down. Whereas before that, it was just kind of any and everybody. And it's hard to kind of market to that audience then, because it's like, well, who needs photography? At least with this, it's kind of like I knew I was looking for product designers, you know, looking for makers and shops, and knew I could offer what they needed. Yeah, and it's just kind of gone from there. I've kind of had to adapt over the years of what they need and like what services to offer. But I think that's just part of running your own business, isn't it? It's just learning to adapt.
Yeah, definitely. And I think a kudos to you as well for spotting the opportunity when you went to these shoots, because not every, obviously not everybody did, because you were one of the first to do it.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a bit of a leap, but I think it's just, you know, I've always been passionate about kind of creatives and like, I've always had an interest in the art, so I think there was already that passion there for it. So to be able to combine the two things just kind of made sense to me. And yeah, it was just such a kind of natural move. But it did feel a bit risky at the time, because like, okay, I'm just going to focus on this one thing and hope that there's work there. But yeah, obviously it did work out, luckily.
So when you started out, I mean, I guess that flat lays weren't really even a thing.
No.
And obviously if you don't know what a flat lay is, it's obviously a load of items and then you take a shot from above. It's what a lot of people use online, but that's quite common now, but that wasn't even a thing then.
No,
so how
I remember
did you
doing
come
that
up
first, like to begin with, and people were like, oh, Holly Beard is a flat lay. Like, I'm not really sure this is kind of groundbreaking, but okay.
But how did you come up with the kind of idea? Well, how did you come up with your kind of, because I think your style is very you. And I think when you see your shots, you can kind of tell it's your photos from the kind of props you use and the way you lay things out.
Yeah.
So how did you come up with that kind of style, I guess? Was that from when you were younger and what you used to do and the ideas you've had from when you were younger? Or
I'm not sure really. I think it's difficult because I think with our work, like, we try to make sure that like that, any images that we make really reflects like the client's brands. Like, it's really important to us that we really show off each individual client's brand. But I appreciate that obviously we do have a certain style, I guess. All of our imageries, we tend to be like quite contemporary and quite bright and quite colourful and sometimes a bit playful. But in terms of kind of styling, I think, I don't know, it's really tricky. I think I've always liked styling and it kind of had an interest in like interiors and that kind of thing. And I guess, you know, kind of looking at stuff online, you kind of get drawn to different things. And when I started doing it, it was just a bit of trial and error of kind of seeing what worked. And people, to begin with, people loved the hang of flat lay and they liked like a grid kind of layout, and it was like super neat and just, you know, little kind of playful props. And so I think it's kind of come from there, is just that I was just trialing it, seeing what worked, seeing what people were drawn to. And it's kind of just evolved over the years. And like, you know, there's trends that come and go with product photography, but I think we've always tried to stick to not being too kind of trend led so that things don't date. So I think that's where the styles kind of come from, in terms of it is quite kind of maybe kind of simple. It's not overcomplicated styling. Like the product is always the focus. So I think that kind of having those kind of key styles in mind kind of means, you know, things tend to look kind of similar in that way of kind of, that's my kind of style really. But yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of inbuilt in me. Pete's always telling me, because I like, you know, laying things out at home and styling stuff, and he really likes things to be like super neat and like in like lines. And I'm like, I'm just going to move these things and just like tweak them. And that's what I've made a job out of. So
that's hilarious. I totally get that as well, because my husband is the same. He's terrible. Yeah. He'll be like, I'll place some like something artfully, like yeah. 2/3 of the way across the mantelpiece where it's yeah. supposed to be. And yeah. then he'll be like dust or something, or he'll plonk it right in the middle because he thinks it's better to be in the middle. Yeah. And I'm just like,
yeah,
no, no, that's terrible. Why have you done that?
I could come into a room and spot it straight away, and Pete's like, you know, I've moved something, don't you? I'm like, yes, it's in the wrong place.
I'm not going to say it's all men, because I'm sure not all men are. But my husband is, yeah. If you had to, I mean, you've obviously honed your skill now. You've been a photographer for many years. You've been a successful photographer for many years. What advice would you give to creative business owners who maybe can't afford to outsource their photos yeah. yet and want to have a go themselves and want to yeah. learn and get better?
So I think I always tell people to just keep it simple, because I think it's quite easy to kind of be a bit overwhelmed by it and kind of see the incredible photos online and not know where to start. And at the end of the day, you know, the product is key. So keep it super simple. If you're not confident and you've not done it before, you know, I think people can kind of get a bit carried away and kind of go, right, I need to chuck loads of props at this and loads of styling. Mm. And then you don't know what the product is. You're not looking at that anymore. You're looking at all the other stuff that's in front of it. So I always think, like, strip it right back and just, you know, think about what your brand is. I always kind of ask clients to kind of write down kind of keywords about like their brands, like how they would describe it. Think about brand colors and use those things to kind of start with when you're thinking about your product photography, because you want it to all reflect your brand. I also think, you know, if you're at the stage where you maybe can't afford to hire somebody and you are doing it yourself, ask for favors, like ask friends and family if you can use their houses to shoot your products in, or if they've got really lovely props, like if you haven't got them but you don't want to buy them, ask around. Like, I think it's really useful to kind of like use your connections and work with other people. And it might even be that you can work with other creatives and kind of come together and do a little collaboration shoot. Like yes. there's so much of that. And there was so much of that when I started out, like, you know, you would do skill swaps. And I think that's still really important to do, is to ask for help. But yeah, in kind of, you know, if you're taking your own, just keep it super simple. Use a tripod. Even if you're using your phone, use a tripod so you can get super sharp images. That's the most important thing.
And don't shoot in definitely.
The dark. Pick a light.
I agree. I've got three.
That's all right. Good. You sorted.
It's annoying because I buy one and then I think, oh, I need a longer one. So then yeah. I've got a short table. Something. I need a longer one. And then I'm like, oh, I need one for my iPad. So now I need a different one. So I've got now ended up with three. But they are good when I can be bothered to
yeah.
use
oh, yeah.
and set them up. Actually, I've got so fed up of setting the iPad one up. I've actually got it still up and I just keep it up.
Just leave it there. Yeah. And I think that's another good thing of like when you're taking product photos yourself, you know, if you find like a setting that works, yeah. if you can like leave a setup in your space, like if you've got space in your wherever you work from, just leave it up, like take the faff out of it. If you don't want to be kind of taking it down every day and setting it up every day. And also just making a note of times a day when you get the best light in the space that you're in, like just making things easy for yourself. Like I think sometimes people come to it and go, I need to take a photo today. And it might be like the middle of winter and it's dark and miserable outside. It's not going to work. Like don't make it stressful for yourself. So if little things like that you can do just to make it easier, I think that's the best kind of way to start.
Yeah, that's such good advice, because obviously you want to try to get everything in a collection, everything done yeah. all in one go. However, we know that makers, when they're making all the time and they're making commissions and they want to take a photo exactly. of it before they send it off, yeah. they don't have the time to wait
no
several weeks to do it all in a batch, do they?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, a lot of time you don't need a massive setup for it. Like you just need a little corner next to a window. You know, if you're doing it yourself, it doesn't have to be kind of this a huge elaborate setup. It can be very DIY, and you know, you can just use some just like some card, just to use as like a bounce board. Like it doesn't need to be expensive kit, but like you say, if you had like a little area set up and you are making a commission, you can just pop it in, take a quick photo and done, and it just takes that stress out of it a little bit. And then when you're ready to, you can invest and you can get someone else to do it, and then you don't have to think about it anymore.
Yeah, amazing. And that's the best bit. Because yeah. then you don't cringe every time you use no, the photos exactly. either on social media. They're actually good. This is good. And I think it's so important to make things simple. I really do in business, because I do think this, yeah. like, especially with makers, because they are so they just do all the hats. Well, it's a cliche, but they do have all the hats on.
Absolutely. And that was such a huge part of like the services we were offering. Like one of our main ones is the remote product photography where people can post their products to us. Like I launched that back in 2014. Like I know a lot of product photographers offer that service now, but when I first did it, there wasn't really other people offering that option. But it was just because the people we're working with, you've got to do so many other tasks. Like you don't need the time to like take out, you know, a day out to go and do a shoot. Like it just, if you can just send stuff, you've not got to really think about it. And I think that's important to do if you can do that in your business in other ways as well. Like you can't do all the jobs all the time.
No, you really can't. That going crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
I just wanted to ask as well, specifically about, I know a lot of people on listen to this podcast are jewellers, because I come from a jewellery background and had a jewellery blog. But jewellery, I think, is one of the worst things, especially silver jewellery, because
so
you can't see it stand out. It reflects everything. You can see every little smudge, every little mark.
Yeah.
And you have to zoom right in to even see it. And then it looks out of proportion. I mean, there's just so much. Can you give any quick tips for jewellers who have to shoot their own photos?
Yeah. So, I mean, similar tips to earlier, really, in terms of definitely use a tripod, because, you know, it depends what kit you're using, but you might potentially have a macro lens. If you're trying to get really small details, you need a tripod for these things to make sure your image is going to be super sharp. It's so important with jewelry. And it is, you know, you're saying there's lots of fine details, like make sure you've got that initial setup. Even if you are using your phone, make sure you've got a tripod and keep the really like things around it really simple, because especially if you're shooting like silver jewelry, it reflects everything, which you'll know, like you can probably sometimes even see yourself in it. So you want to make sure that there's nothing around it that's going to kind of cause any reflections or any kind of color casting. Also, you can get the little pop-up like photography tents, which are really useful for jewelry, because then you kind of eliminate that in terms of reflections. It will just be nice and bright and white. If you've not got one of those, you could use like paper or card, like white card, just to kind of help with reflections and bouncing light back onto it. It's a bit trial and error with jewelry. There's kind of not like a one size fits all. Even when I do it, like, you know,
really,
we'll shoot a collection and each piece will be slightly different because the way it's shaped, like what the kind of engravings are in it. So it is a lot of practice, but I would say keep it simple again and just kind of focus on really showing off the piece. So maybe you just want to use like some nice surfaces to kind of lift it up, but maybe make sure that everything else around it is nice and clean so that you're not kind of reflecting yourself in it. Make sure the piece of jewelry is clean, because like you say, it's the worst thing when you shoot and then you go, oh, there's a little tiny hair on it or a fingerprint smudge. So yeah, mate, I think there's a lot of prep to do with jewelry stuff, but hopefully you can kind of feel little things helpful.
Definitely. And one thing I found very randomly was I like you, I was like you said earlier about people having too many pops. That's exactly what I did, because you think you're going to get to get all these pops and you're like, oh, I've got to put everything in, and then you realize it just is too much and all you need is a little corner of something or
absolutely
a little something. And what I actually found, the best props in the end, after trying lots of different things, were, and it was very random, but just a very plain white china saucer or a cup, and putting the jewellery on that, and it just gave it a really nice quality to that, which reflected the light.
Yeah.
And it just worked really well. And that's the best thing I've
done. Doesn't it? Yeah. And I think that's useful again, but obviously it's a white prop. So again, it's not distracting from the jewellery, but it just gives it a little bit of texture and like a little bit of shape to it. Like it's useful for like hanging earrings off, things like that.
Yes.
But you can get like the simplest props. Like a lot of what we use are like tile samples. You can get this super cheap, but they're just like nice textures. Like it doesn't have to be crazy expensive. And sometimes even things just like a white linen just have that little bit of texture, but again, it doesn't distract from the product, but it does, it just makes it a bit more interesting than just kind of on a white bit of paper, like super kind of pack shot style.
But
I think a lot of it's trial and error, and like you say, you know, you kind of get overwhelmed and kind of go, I want to use all these props and I want to make it amazing, and it sometimes it is just too distracting. And I think you kind of need to take a photo and then look at it and imagine that you're the customer and go, am I looking at the piece of jewellery or am I looking at all that stuff that's in the background, and kind of take things away and kind of until things kind of sit right?
Yeah, so true. I can't let you go away without asking you about video.
Yeah.
And the impact that video has on how to use photos in videos, I guess, because now on Instagram we can't just use images, it seems.
Nope.
we have to turn them into all singing, all dancing reels and videos, reels and everything else. You know, is there a way though of being able to use those amazing images and doing it in reels? How would you say it was best to do that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we obviously we have seen a real shift towards video, and it, you know, it's kind of nerve-wracking at first because, you know, we aren't videographers to begin with, and it's a new skill set. And although that is still quite exciting because it's something new to learn, it's a bit like, okay, we're starting from scratch again. What do we do here? So I've seen a mix. You know, we've seen people using reels and kind of using photos in reels and just using kind of stills kind of in quick succession, like showing off a new collection. We've had a few clients do that recently where they have then used our pictures and use that as a reel. Sometimes I found as well, when you kind of, especially on Instagram, you know, if you put up like a carousel, it goes, this might work as a reel. So I think they are pushing that. I don't think it always has to be moving imagery. So there's lots of like little templates on Instagram reels where you can just then drop your own photos in, like pre-made ones. I mean, it's massive, isn't it? There's so many like new skills to learn. So I think there is ways of doing it without having to be like, I have to be a videographer now and have to do all new content. I think you can repurpose the content you've already got. I think it's just kind of looking at what's out there and how other people are doing it and kind of finding little bits of audio that work. I do also think it's easy to kind of get overwhelmed and kind of go, okay, I must do this now, even though it might not fit your business. And I think that's what you need to stay true to, is like, what do you want to do and what's the content you want to share, and keeping that brand style within it, and try not to kind of get scared of kind of going, oh, I must do this because everyone else is doing it. Because I think some of the content's going to date quite quickly. So I think it's important to kind of think about what you're putting out there and what you're sharing.
Yeah, no, I it's interesting you say that, because I had I had Laura Pashby on my podcast a few months ago, and she was saying when Reels first came out, she didn't know what to do with it because her style was very natural, and it was like all these natural wild shots. So how did she do it? And she found that she actually didn't need to move the camera that much. In fact, sometimes not at all. It's a photo of like, I don't know, trees moving in the breeze.
You just leave it
make
running.
A video, and just and it hardly moves, but it's still a video, and it's just changing your perception of what a video is. And I find it really fascinating the way reels are evolving, actually, because it did start off, it had to be this massive production of you, and it was a TikTok video, and it was dancing, and it was pointing and it was all this, and that was it. And that still happens, but now it just seems a lot of people have found different ways. They've been really creative around creating these videos, and it's, I think it's really interesting to watch.
Yeah, I saw Sarah Tasker, who's me and Orla, she kind of said the same thing about kind of, you know, find that image that you take as a still, but leave it running and get a bit of movement into it. And it's just simple things like that. And I think that's so key, because that's still, you know, I look at her content and it's still her brand. I don't think, oh, what, you know, what's this? It doesn't really fit. And I think that's really important that you kind of stick true to what your brand is, your key styles, and just find creative ways to include it that way.
Yeah, no, and being really objective about it, because one of my kind of values is making things fun and fun for people. But then, I, you know, to be honest, I looked at my content a while back and I thought, you know what, this doesn't look very fun. Very honest with myself. I thought, if I was someone else, I would just look at this and think fun. So I'm like, okay, I need to go back and think about that, how I can represent fun. And that's probably me doing stupid things, which I'm not massively fond of. So I mean you talked about how people started posting things to you in 2014. Now that's obviously like, I don't know, 5 years before the pandemic hit. So you were kind of ahead of your time. So when the pandemic hit, I guess you were in a good place, weren't you?
Yeah, it was a really weird one, because so I had obviously been running the business on my own for kind of 10 years. Then Pete left his job and I was like, come and work with me. Let's work on together. We'd always kind of talked about it. And that was December 2019 that we made that decision. And he left and started working with me officially in March 2020. And then we went into lockdown. And we're like, wow, what a year to do this. So, I mean, we survived it. It's fine. Like, we made it through. But it was a weird one because, you know, we didn't know how it's going to affect our work. And that first lockdown hit when everything closed, like, obviously, all our clients' suppliers closed, like, printers closed. And we were like, okay, we don't know how this is going to work, because no one had the products to even send to us. So there was kind of, there's probably like a few weeks of like, okay, what do we do? Let's just sit and wait and we'll see what happens. And then there seemed to be this kind of turn of like, people then realizing that, okay, markets aren't going to go ahead, fairs aren't going to go ahead, we really need to sell online, like, we've got to find a way around this. And it really obviously played in our favor, because we did already have the remote service, and if anything, it was probably our busiest year, because we were just in demand because of that, because everyone really understood the importance of strong imagery online. So yeah, it just went crazy, which personally, that was amazing. But it was, I was just kind of so, felt so guilty, because we had so many photographer friends who were wedding photographers, and we'd be chatting to them and all their work had stopped. And they're like, how are you? And we're like, really busy. We feel really awful about it, but, you know, we did just carry on. And it was great that we could then help our clients carry on as well. Like, it was such a kind of strange year of like an awful time, but then, you know, also so many businesses had incredible years because people were buying and people were shopping, you know. And I think that's, it's making it quite strange now, because I've seen a few businesses that were kind of during the pandemic had this, you know, incredible turnover and they were selling like mad, to kind of drop off again now has been quite a shock. And actually, I think if we hadn't had that kind of pandemic time, it probably would have just felt quite normal, like sales would have been normal. Mm. But I think it's why it kind of feels even harder now that there's been such a sudden drop. But yeah, it was a strange time. But I mean, we were very grateful to be busy and kind of keep us occupied. So yeah, we just kind of carried on and just were working like mad, really. But it was a nice distraction, I guess, from everything else that was going on.
Yeah, it was such a funny time. And I think it is, like you say, I think that there was a lot of demand, because although people don't often talk about this aspect, although some people had less money coming in, a lot of people had more income. Because if they had a regular job and they were working from home, they were still getting the same wages, but they weren't paying to commute, they weren't paying to go away, they weren't paying for holidays. So all of a sudden they've got this pot of money and they're like, oh, let's treat ourselves to this, that or the other.
I think treat yourself thing was huge as well, wasn't it? Because it was such a horrible time and people were like, oh, let's buy this, let's feel better. And, you know, that's the kind of a whole other topic of whether that's the right thing or not to do. But it did mean that sales were crazy.
Yeah, it's so interesting.
Yeah.
And so there you were, you and your other half in lockdown together, working together.
Yeah.
How did that go?
It was fine. Like, it was a real, like, it was a funny one, because I really had to adapt, because I had been working on my own for so long. Like, there'd been a few times where I was like, you know, to expand this and take this to that next level, I do need someone else. But I was kind of nervous as like to who to take on and like who to let in, because the business was such a personal thing for me. Me and Pete had always talked about, like, one day, wouldn't it be great if we could work together? Like, I think it'd be really far off in the future. And then kind of like 2019, there've been a few times where Peter kind of said to me that he was at a time in his job where he didn't really want to carry on with it. He wanted to do something different. And we just kind of went, oh, let's just do it. Like, you know, we're never going to know. Like, there's always going to be that risk there. Until you're doing it, you don't know if it's going to work. And we've got things to fall back on. If you needed to go back to another job, we can. So let's just try it. Obviously not knowing it was going to be a pandemic year. So it was like added stress. No, it was great. It was just a learning curve. My biggest thing was delegating, because I'd done it all myself for so long. And suddenly Pete's like, what job shall I do? And how do I do this? I'm like, not like that. That's wrong. You do it this way. Yeah. It was so hard to be like, oh, these are the ways I've done this for so long, and to let go of that. So it was just kind of finding out kind of what jobs I kind of felt happy to kind of go, actually, yeah, can you do that? So I can just focus on the styling and the photography and the kind of planning side, which I really enjoy. And he could help with kind of the admin and the editing and the stuff that was taking me away from the creative side. And because he'd been a producer in his previous role, he loved that aspect of it, of like organizing it and keeping things on track and running. And that was so helpful. And we talked to quite a lot of people before we did it, like friends who are in relationships but work together, to kind of see if anyone went like, don't do it, whatever you do, don't do it. And so many people said, no, do, like, it's the best thing, like, if you can make it work. I think everyone was kind of just like, make sure you've got things outside of work that you do together, but also do separately, like socially. So you're not just together 24/7. Obviously, again, went into lockdown, so we were together 24/7. But yeah, we survived it. It was like a strange year, but it was a strange year for everyone, wasn't it? So
it was really strange. Still getting back to normal, I think, really. Oh, and actually, no, it's not even normal, is it?
No.
There's other things going on now. But it's just... what can you say? Just need some normality, don't we? But I love the fact that you went and got advice on the fact that, you know, how does it work when you're working with your half? That's brilliant.
Yeah, we just thought it was important to kind of like make sure. I think we are quite like maybe quite cautious people. Like, I think for the business, I've been a bit like, I'm always winging it, really. I feel like a lot of business owners feel like that. Like, none of us really know what we're doing. Yeah, like, who does? And like with the business, I'd always taken risks with it. Like, when I first started, I didn't have any savings, I didn't have any prep. I just was just like, I'm just gonna go freelance and hope for the best. So we'd always, you know, been like that. But I think because it was both of us coming into that freelance state, and kind of there's more riding on it, you know, we've got a house, like, we've got to make sure that it's the right thing to do. Yeah, we did ask friends, like, we've got neighbours who are a married couple that work together and run like a web design agency. And we went and had a chat with them, and it was just great. Like, they just said like what worked for them, like they work in separate rooms, so they're not just like next to each other all the time. And I just think it was useful to kind of get advice and make sure, like I say, no one was kind of like, don't do it, please don't do it.
That's amazing. Because would you have not done it if someone had said, don't
do it? I
guess,
yeah. I think if someone had been like, no, it's ruined our relationship. Don't do it. I think maybe we would have reconsidered it. But I think we have been together for a really long time as well. And like, we'd worked together in other capacities throughout the years on other projects. Like I used to do a creative project when I first left uni that was kind of an online magazine for creatives. And Pete ran that with me because he was looking to get into journalism at the time. So it worked. So I was doing the photography for articles, he was doing the interview. So we'd had experience of working together. It wasn't kind of like a real shock to the system. So yeah, it wasn't like a real risk, but it's still, a learning curve.
Does it surprise you when you look back at what you've achieved over the last 12 years and what you've built?
Yeah, I think, yeah, I don't think I take a lot of time to sit and take stock of it. You're in the day-to-day running your business and just getting on with it. But I think it is important to look back and kind of see where you've come with it. You know, when I first started, it was such a huge jump to take and I didn't have a lot of confidence in it. It's, I was quite shy growing up, and then suddenly going from this to kind of going to shoots and working with groups of people and having to be in charge of shoots and directing, and it really pushed me out of my comfort zone. But it's quite nice to look back at that now and kind of see what impact that had on my business and how that's kind of pushed me forward. And yeah, just like all the amazing clients we've got to work with, and obviously I've shot creative events over the years, and it's good to look back at and see what you've done. But I think I'm always just like, okay, what's next? What do I do next?
What do you think the biggest challenge is or has been in your business?
Oh, that's such a good question. I think learning to say no was one of the biggest things, because it feels like completely the wrong thing to do. Like learning to say no to work that's not right for you or clients that aren't right for you, because it feels counterproductive to like turn work down, because you're like, I shouldn't be, I'm freelance. Like I should be saying yes to all the work I can take on. But I think when I realized, one, that I wouldn't be the right person for every client, like not every job would be suitable for me, like in terms of style or what they needed, that really shifted it for me, because it kind of just freed you up to kind of go, okay, I know who I want to work with and I know what I'm right for and I know the work I can produce, and it's okay to not be the right fit for everybody, because there's other photographers out there. And I find it's really important to have that kind of community aspect. Like we have a bunch of photographers that we will always pass word to, like there's no kind of competition there. It's we're all doing the same job at the end of the day and offering the same kind of services. And it could be quite easy to be like, oh, I'm not going to kind of associate with that person because they could steal work from me. But actually, we're using that to our advantage, and we pass work to each other when we're too busy or we're not the right fit. And I think that was a real shift for me, is just kind of learning about that and kind of learning to go, it's okay to not take on everything.
Yeah, you're 12 years in and you still sound like you're absolutely loving it. So what's your secret to keeping it exciting and enjoying it?
I think there's that, like I said earlier, there is that real passion for me to work with creative businesses. Like I'm passionate outside of the work. Like I love going to fairs, I love like meeting other makers. Our house is just full of stuff from independent makers and shops. Like there is that real passion for me there. So I think that helps, because it's not just a job for me, like it is something that is part of my day-to-day life. And I think it's just that I find it so rewarding working with creative businesses and being part of their journey, that that's what keeps me going. Like I'm always like, okay, how can I improve the services that we're offering? How can I do things differently to help people run their businesses? And, adapting to, like, we were talking earlier about the adaptive video, and it kind of changed from product photography. It used to be just kind of simple studio stuff, whereas now people want to do it on location. So we changed it and added a service there. And I think it's that kind of keeps me driven, because I just want to constantly kind of go, okay, what can we do differently? How can we improve? And how can I continue helping businesses, keep running and improving what they do? Like, we only play a small part in their business, but it's just so rewarding to be part of it. So yeah, I think that's kind of why it keeps me going, keeps me kind of sticking with it.
I noticed that you're offering personal brand photography mm-hmm. now, as well as product shots. So what was the thinking behind that and why start offering that?
Yeah, so I kind of obviously had shot portraits in the past, and so I've had that kind of interest, And then with a few of our clients, so some of them obviously use the remote service where they post their products to us, but we've got a few clients who are like based locally to us, and they would say like, would you mind coming to the studio? Can you come and photograph it where we work? Oh, and I could do with a photo of me. I need to update my social profile. I've got an interview coming up. They need a headshot of me. So we'd be having these conversations with our clients, and, you know, we'd be shooting them in their homes, in their workspaces. And it kind of evolved naturally that way. And obviously, you know, it is important to have your face out there. People buy from other people. So it's kind of just a natural progression, really. Like, I'm really fascinated by where people work and how things are made. And like, I love getting to nosy in people's studios. It's just my favorite thing. So if I was like, okay, I can make a service out of this, that's great. Like, I'll just get paid to like look around people's spaces and homes. Like, yes, that's the dream. So it was just from that, really. And just, you know, with social media, like, people do need to show like the behind the scenes. Like, people need to see the processes for how things are made, where they're made. So it just made sense to us to offer both, so that if, you know, we're kind of a one-stop shop, that people can come to us and we can cover all those services in one go and give people a batch of images they can use for like so many different purposes. That's always so important to us, that after a shoot, a client has got this nice big batch of images that they are excited to use, but they can use for a variety of purposes as well.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think that this kind of niche around personal brand photography, around taking photos of people as well as the products, that is really coming more widespread. I mean,
yeah,
it didn't used to happen, really. People used to see the products and that was enough. But now it's like you say, people do need to show their faces and have these amazing photos of themselves. It's like we said earlier, the game is upping in the photography world. The product photos are getting, you know, you have to be better. You have to have amazing photos of you.
Yeah. Which can be really daunting. And I think a lot of creatives, especially, because like, I mean, I'm the same. Like, we had brand photos taken a couple of years ago and I've just been using the same ones. So I'm like, I don't want to do it again.
Me too.
I totally get it. Like, I totally get when we go and meet somebody and they're like, oh, I really don't want photos taken of me. But it is super important to have. And I think we try and make it super fun. We always have a laugh on shoots. We're not really bossy. And we try and make it as just like natural and like kind of pain-free as possible. And we do always get feedback from clients after the shoots. They're like, oh, I actually really enjoyed that. And that was fun. It's just like having a chat and having a few photos taken at the same time. But yeah, I think, like I say, it is important to have, even if it's, you know, every couple of years, just to have really, that little batch.
it is important. But having said that, my last photo that I had properly taken were just before pandemic, and I had short blonde bobbed hair. So I really need...
You really need some doing.
I now have long, curly, brownish hair. So I think I really need to get some done, but it's like one of those, it's the time and the way I need to... I know that's a very bad excuse. I should practice what I preach. I do think it's important, but like you say, we're all introverts and we all hate
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. It's so daunting. And I think if you can find the right photographer, and it can be kind of like a nice process. And I think there's, you know, we have clients, like we have some clients we work with on a really regular basis who will have photos taken with all the time. We have others that would be like once a year, it's like a little top up. And I think it's just finding what works for you. But I do think it is important to have, you know, on your about page, having a couple ones for press, because like if you do get an interview, people do, they want like your product shots, but they also want a headshot. And if you then like are struggling to take one yourself, that's the worst, isn't it? Trying to kind of take a selfie and it just not being spot on, and it's just another stressful thing. So if you have got that little like batch of images to fall back on, I think it just takes the stress out of it again.
Definitely. And I found it like much easier when posting social media stuff as well, because I wasn't like stressed about what photo am I going to take. Oh, I'm going to have to take one, I haven't got one. Oh, exactly. No, it's rubbish, it takes me 10 hours to take a half decent one. And then I end up like wasting so much time, whereas when I had that bank of photos, it was better because I just had them there.
Yeah, it just takes the stress out of it, doesn't it? You don't have to think about it. And you know, you can pre-plan it a little bit and think about the kind of content that you're sharing, and then you've got images ready to go. Like some of our clients come to us and they go, right, I need hand shots, I need a shot of me with a laptop because I'm going to use it for this. And it's just, again, it's just one less thing you've got to think about on a morning when you're on Instagram going, oh no, I've got to find something to photograph today. Like just not got to think about it, you've already got it ready to go.
And I think the planning can be a bit daunting as well, because you're thinking, okay, I'm gonna have these photos taken, but how do I know what to wear? How do I know what shots I need? I'm new to this, I don't know what I'm doing. And all that is quite daunting as well.
Yeah, definitely. But I think, you know, like I said earlier about like having those brand guidelines, like always fall back on that. Have a Pinterest board, like even if it's a secret one, just like pinning ideas to, that it's just useful to kind of look at and kind of go, oh, this is kind of the photo that I'd love to have of myself, and maybe that would be useful. I also think having that chat with your photographer, I know like we do it, and I'm sure like other brand of photographers do the same. You can chat to them and they'll help you through that process. They'll tell you good outfits to wear, places to shoot, like key kind of images that are useful to have. And it should be that kind of having that relationship with your photographer, making sure that you get the most out of it and feeling confident going into the shoot, knowing that you're going to get what you need.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's half of it. And then you'll feel so much more relaxed, won't you, when
definitely
you're actually doing it.
Yeah.
So if you met some photographers starting out, I don't know, doing the bridal shoots.
Yeah. I don't know if people still don't do them anymore. I don't know. I feel so old.
Whatever they do. What would, and they desperately want to, you know, make a name for themselves in the photography world and build up a business doing photography full time. What would be your top tips for them?
So I think, I mean, I feel like it's changed so much, because when I launched around the time that kind of Twitter and Instagram were kind of just starting. So for me, that was such a huge thing. Like social media played such a huge part in it. But it's such a different world now, isn't it? Like the content you share, the type of content, what gets seen. So that, I think that feels, that must feel quite daunting. But I guess it's just kind of looking at, you know, what is there. So it might be that it's TikTok, like finding ways to share content in a way that's going to reach your audience. I think the most important thing is just practicing. Like it's shooting what you want to shoot. So, you know, okay, that client might not be booking you for a shoot yet, but can you shoot some stuff in that kind of style so that the work you're putting out there is going to attract that ideal client? You know, if you're not putting that work out there, people aren't gonna find it. And I just think it's important to kind of keep practicing, keep like trying different styles, try different things out, use that time to just kind of, you know, find what you enjoy doing. And then, because as soon as you've got that passion in the work you're doing and putting that out, that's when you're going to attract that client. And just networking was such a huge thing for me. I used to do it in person, which fills me with dread now. Going to those like networking events, but also like, you know, I did use social media. It was a brand new thing, so there was more kind of a buzz around it. But I was connecting with those people who might be my clients, and you know, some of them turned out to be clients, some of them didn't, some of them are just really great connections to have. And I think that's what's really important, kind of, you know, meeting other designers, stylists, other photographers, and having that connection. I think that's still super important now, even though the kind of social media landscape's changed, is just making those connections, because I found so much of my work came from and still does from word of mouth.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think, you know, even if Instagram disappears, I know that I'm still going to find work because people pass your name on. I just think that's just super important to have.
Yeah, people are always going to trust that more than they are seeing somebody on social media. They just
definitely yeah.
In fact, you were recommended to me when I was a jewelry designer.
Oh, there we go.
That's how I knew, because like you say, there weren't many product photographers around at the time, and it was like, you know, oh, Holly Booth. I liked your photos, and that always stuck with me.
Oh, thank you.
So what's next for you and your business then? You're doing so many things. Can you be doing any more?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think you kind of go through periods of business, like where sometimes you're really pushing like new things and trying to like, you know, launch new things. And then I think you're going to go through a period where you're just kind of doing the work. And sometimes that can feel a bit like, oh, I should be doing something new. And I think it's kind of learning to feel okay with where you are, and like kind of goes through different seasons. And I think we've really been in that, like maybe like 2020 and 2021, we were launching lots of new services and kind of updating what we're offering. And I think this past year, we've actually just had our heads down and been working. And I think it's okay to do that sometimes. Like the work was there for us and we just needed to kind of get on with it. I think behind the scenes, we're always kind of thinking like, what else can we be doing? But I'm really conscious that I don't want to dilute the services that we offer. And I just want to make sure what we do offer is the best it can be. And so we've been kind of updating kind of the processes that we do for onboarding clients. Like there's things behind the scenes that people don't really see, but make the kind of the whole process better for our clients, like the resources that we give them for prepping for shoots. So I feel like a lot of it's kind of been quite inward and not kind of stuff that we've been shouting about outwardly on social media. But then also the feedback from clients has been great, because they've been like, oh, I felt really super prepared for the shoot because of the extra resources. So yeah, it's been like a good year for that, but not, I feel like I've been quite quiet on social media. Do you know, it's that kind of funny time? I think at the moment the real thing for us is just looking at video and looking at other ways we can offer it. We kind of launched a video service that was very much brand focused, so it was kind of larger videos, kind of like promo videos and brand videos, which is great. But I appreciate it's more of an investment. And clients are coming to us and needing videos, like shorter videos, again, like we were saying earlier, for Reels, for TikTok, for adverts. So we're just looking at ways that we can do that that fit with us. I think that's what we've been really conscious of like, we didn't want to run ahead and be like, oh, we have a video now and here's all these services. We want to make sure it still fits with what we offer, the kind of work we produce. So we've been testing the water a bit with that, kind of secretly behind the scenes with a few clients who've been like, can you try shooting this video? And we're like, okay, we'll see how it works. And then if it's something we can offer and roll out to other people, we will do. So I think that will probably be kind of next year that we kind of offer a bit more video kind of processes for people. So hopefully.
Yeah, I think it is important that you do have that time to consolidate though, because it is like, it's just so tempting, isn't it, just to start new things, but you have to be like, you have to let it, if it was like a plant, you have to let it like fruit and do all those amazing things.
And I think you have to learn from it, like not everything you're going to do is work. And I think it's really important to kind of take stock and just look at how things are working. And it can be quite easy to be like chasing that new thing and chasing that new client, but actually our existing clients are so important to us. Like some of them have been with us since the beginning, you know, like 10 plus years that they've been working with us. So I'm always looking at ways that I can improve what we're doing for those, and like different ways we can tweak services. And I think that's super important to do for all businesses, is to think about what you're offering and keeping people happy, and not always just be like, okay, how do I get these new clients? How do I get new people in it? And actually thinking about what your kind of like core clients need from you.
Yeah. So how, I'm interested, as a creative, how do you stop yourself from coming up? You can't stop coming up with the ideas, but how do you stop yourself from going after? Because it's really hard when you're creative and you suddenly have all these ideas and things sparking off, and they sound so more exciting than what you're doing at the moment. How do you keep that in check?
I think, that's a really good question. I think kind of having conversations about things, like obviously when it was just me on my own, I think I used to kind of, you know, I would ring a friend or I'd ring and talk to my mum. My mum's self-employed as well, which is super helpful. So we used to bounce ideas off each other. And I think I'd always used to do that anyway, that like, I wouldn't kind of run ahead and be like straight on social media and like, guys, here's what's new. Like, this is what I'm doing. I think I would always sound things out. And I guess it's just that thing of like, we found that like, if ideas were sticking with us and kept coming back to us, or clients kept mentioning things, we were like, okay, I think that's a goer. Like, people kept talking to us about video before video was really a big thing on social media. And we were like, okay, we need to be aware of this. Like, people are asking us. Some things would look to kind of doing other services in the past, like mock-up images and like stock images. And my gut wasn't in it. My gut was telling me it wasn't the right thing to do. So I think it's just that kind of like trusting your instincts and kind of listening to what other people are saying. But it's really easy to be like, oh, I want to do all these new things and new ideas. And I think it's just useful to have conversations about them and just see if it's something that you should run with or not.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. And I think it works different for different people. Like I say, I think that's always been the way I've done it in business, is just to kind of sound things out. I appreciate like some people do get really excited and just try it. And you know what, if it doesn't work, it doesn't matter. And I think you just find out what works for you. Yeah. I think you just have to trust your gut in these things. Like, it's so important, and it always is true.
It's
always right.
Always right. And I love the idea of sitting with something, and I'm sure I've heard that term before, sticky idea. So I apologize whoever's come up with that in the past that I've read. But it's sticky idea. And the idea that those ideas, the best ideas are the ones that keep coming around, and just like taking notice. And I think that's what's obviously helped you throughout your business career, because you've taken notice of your audience and the people around you. And that's so, so important. I mean, that's how your business started in product photography, because you noticed the need.
Yeah.
And now that's how you keep on progressing and deciding on your ideas. That is just so important, that you're listening to people.
Definitely. And you know, our business is so reliant on our clients and what their needs are, so I think it just comes hand in hand. Like, I'm so grateful that our clients kind of let us into their businesses, like, and we get to see behind the scenes, but they're also telling us, you know, things that they're struggling with, things that they're worrying about, but also things that are working for them. And I think having those chats and finding out what they need is then what we use to kind of feedback into what we do as well. And it's that kind of thing that works together. And I think that has been what's kind of kept us going and kind of kept clients coming back to us, because we are aware of what they need. We're not kind of just going, well, this is the one service we offer, who cares if it helps or not, kind of thing. I'm just going to stick with it. Like, I'm so conscious of making sure it works for our clients and it adapts and changes with everything else that's changing around us.
I love that. And I think I love the way you keep it simple as well, because I think so many people, I tell them to, you know, look at, when they're looking at your products, look at what their audience wants.
Yeah.
And they're like, how do I know? I sent a survey out and nobody's replied. I'm just like, you have to go out and talk to people. Yeah, and that's definitely the only way.
Yeah.
And this is the fact that you actually just go out and have conversations and, you know, that it's just as simple as that. And, you know, or maybe like running a little event at home, at your house or wherever or somewhere else, and actually get people there and talk to them and just chat.
Again, it's that networking again. It's just so important. Like, and I think like, you know, Instagram used to have that kind of more that community feel. And I think that used to be so important that we used to feel like, you know, we're all on it in real time and you could talk to other people and everyone was really kind of sharing what was going on and that supportive. And I think that's, I was kind of talked to this about Pete, to tweet about this, sorry, that I feel like that's kind of gone at the moment. And it feels quite strange, like, to not have that kind of sounding board. So I think it's finding another way. So like, you know, arranging little networking events, even if it's just like you and a few other maker friends, like going to fairs and having chats with people. Yeah. It's so important. Like all of our clients at the moment, you know, the state of how things are at the moment, everyone is so feeling so nervous and so cautious. But each client we've had thinks it's only them that feels like it. And then we go and talk to someone else and they're like, oh, I feel like it's the same. And I think it's so important to talk and share it and know that people aren't on their own in these things. And it's that kind of support that's going to help us.
Yeah. Community is so powerful. Yeah. I was thinking about that this morning, actually, when I was making my coffee randomly. Random thoughts. And I was just thinking on so many levels, like community has helped me not only on like getting the word out, which is obviously helpful, but also in things like peer support, help, advice, and also elevating. I know this is going to sound a weird one, but elevating yourself, because when people associate you with somebody that you perceive to be slightly above you, I don't like saying above your level, but somebody that maybe a little bit is more well known than you, then people, you automatically kind of get a lift
in the
eyes of the, you know, of everybody else out there in the world. And that's a PR, I guess, but it's community is just so powerful in so many different ways.
It's so important. Like I know a few years ago that was a photographer that reached out to me when I first launched product photography, and I was aware of her, and she was for me, like, you know, she's higher up and she was doing all these amazing things, and she reached out to me and gave me advice, and she was like, you need to be doing things differently. And it was just amazing. She's been a support throughout the business. You know, we don't see each other and we don't talk that often, but she gave me those little nuggets of advice, and that was so important. And I know that she's still like a supporter of me now, like a little cheerleader. And I think that's so important. It can feel like you said, that people are kind of on a pedestal, and actually when you then start having these conversations and realizing that we're all in the same boat and we all are winging it, it's just, it's so helpful.
It is.
No one knows what they're doing. It's great.
Yeah, and I was actually thinking this morning as well, like if it wasn't for community, I don't think it would be possible to succeed in business if you didn't have a community. You can't do it on your own. It's impossible.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So before you go, can you tell us, please, where people can find you and connect with you, Holly?
Of course. So our website's hollybooth.com, and on Instagram, it's at hollybooth studio, or you can do a quick Google. You'll probably find us.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I've really enjoyed the chat. Thank you so much for listening to Creative Slurp. I hope it's inspired you to try something new in your business. If you loved it, please take the time to leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. See you soon, and go and chase your biggest creative business dreams. You can do it.